My name is M1. I'm half of the legendary Tell It Like It Is, Everything Is Political rap duo Dead Prez. And this is WPFW, Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
President of the United States sitting right over there, and we are saying to the President of the United States to stop these assassin drones and stop the wars that America is causing all over the world.
The original meaning of Mother's Day is remembered outside the White House, and grocery store workers in the DMV are the latest to take to the streets for labor rights. All that and much more coming up.
Your hard work for your family, and your hard work for your community, and your hard work for your company should not mean that you're the last one considered in this big deal.
That's right. That's right.
Who's had enough? Who's had enough?
And welcome to On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the nation's capital on 89.3 WPFW, your Pacifica station for justice, African-American classical music. And on Fridays between 10 and 11, right now, it's a place for Voices of Resistance. I'm Esther Rivera. I'm here on the first day for us for the spring membership drive, making an appeal to all the listeners, followers of On the Ground to become new or renewing members of this listener-powered public radio station. And you can call 202-588-9739, as you know, or pledge right online at WPFWFM.org. I'm sure you know that the voices we bring you here on this show, the voices in the streets and in the suites of power, voices either not heard or held to the margins of exposure in the mainstream media, these are our voices, the voices we need to hear during this time of people rising up in this country. You know, whether it is the Black Lives Matter movement against state violence or the movement against economic violence, degradation of our environment and of our one Mother Earth, or the movement to get money out of politics or to make voting a constitutional right. You know, spearheading coverage of the David versus Goliath battle to stop the takeover of Pepco by the nuclear giant Exelon. Coverage on the ground of another battle in Annapolis to pass needed police reform in Maryland. These are some of the things that we've covered on this show in just recent months. So I know you support that coverage. I know that you appreciate that coverage and the work we do to be out in the community. And you can support us by calling 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or going online and to our website, WPFWFM.org. And because I know you appreciate our coverage, I know you'll be I just need maybe 10, not even 10 people calling and making a commitment of only $10 a month to us to have a voice in this corporate dominated media space. And $10 a month will be a $120 contribution. And for that, you can make this huge contribution, but you can make it in monthly payments. And that's the best way to sustain the station and show your support for the show. Maybe you can do $20 a month. Maybe you can do $30 a month. It can be your smallest bill. So you can start calling now so I can thank you. Today we have Voices at the White House for Mother's Day, honoring the original meaning of Mother's Day, founded 102 years ago as a day to oppose war and the killing of husbands and sons in the machinery of war. Also, more on the labor fights here in the DMV. Reverend Graylin Hagler is here in the studio, and he's going to join us in the second half talking about the grocery workers, people who, our neighbors, our friends who work at Giant, who are fighting to save their jobs and to save stores and accessible groceries in our communities. And we'll have a follow up on what's happening with Verizon workers who we spoke to last week. So as always, we have a lot for you coming up, starting with more news making our headlines. The strike by 39,000 CWA and IBEW, that's Communication Workers of America, and members at Verizon has hit the 1 month mark, and activists and allies are expanding mobilization to get Verizon to bargain a fair contract. CWA members, locals, and allies nationwide, including the AFL-CIO and Jobs with Justice, are adopting Verizon wireless stores in every CWA district and picketing them to push Verizon to get serious about bargaining. You can keep up with the latest with the Verizon strike at standuptoverizon.com. And hundreds of local 400 members, giants, customers, brothers and sisters from other unions, community allies, elected officials, and faith leaders Wednesday went to the headquarters of the giant grocery store to deliver thousands of petitions telling the company to save my store. The boisterous rally was prompted by Giant's announcement in March that it would sell 8 stores in the region due to a corporate merger. More about that labor action by giant workers in the second half of the show. Now, on any given night in America, 500,000 people will sleep in a jail cell because they are just too poor to pay even small bail amounts. Money bail punishes people for being poor and can cause people with even the most minor offenses to lose jobs, housing, or even their children. The first piece of federal bail reform legislation, the No More Money Bail Act, was introduced recently by Congressman Ted Lieu. This bill will address the financial and psychological harm money bail has on black inmates and their families. The civil rights organization Color of Change is supporting passage of the act, saying that in the worst cases, like those of Sandra Bland and Khalif Browder, being incarcerated solely due to money bail has cost black people their lives. Khalif and Sandra are the faces of money bail in America. Both had a bright future ahead of them and a deep passion for exposing injustice. Both would be alive today were it not for the corrupt, exploitative, and discriminatory system of money bail. The average bail amount is $90,000. What's worse is that black people face 35% higher bail than white people for the same charge. For low-income and working-class folks, bail costs can be so impossible that it forces them into unfair plea deals just to be released, further contributing to mass incarceration. You can get more information about the campaign at colorofchange.org. In Planet News, days after the Colorado Supreme Court denied two cities' local authority to regulate fracking, hundreds of climate activists descended Thursday on a Bureau of Land Management oil and gas lease auction just outside Denver, kicking off 4 days of major direct actions against fossil fuels across the United States. In addition to the Colorado demonstration, protests and civil disobedience actions are taking place until Sunday in Washington State, Albany, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and here in Washington, D.C. The D.C. event will be this Sunday, 1:30 p.m. at Lafayette Park, that's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Climate activists will call on President Obama to stop all new offshore drilling in the Arctic, Atlantic, and the Gulf of Mexico. Frontline leaders from the Arctic, Atlantic, and Gulf Coast will speak about the impact drilling has on their communities. After the rally, they'll march to the reflecting pool by the Lincoln Memorial. Now here to talk all things about President Obama is Professor Gerald Horn, prolific author and activist and frequent contributor to On the Ground and across the Pacifica Network. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning to you.
Now, I don't know if you just heard, but protesters are rallying around the country for Obama to keep fossil fuels in the ground. Last weekend when I was at the White House, mothers were telling him to stop what was called the drone assassination program. He's taking hits for his speech at Howard and for not apologizing for the U.S. dropping the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It just seems like the contradictions of his presidency are catching up with him just as he's turning toward, like, leaving a legacy.
Well, the question that will occupy historians for generations to come is what happened to the hope of the Obama presidency in 2009? That is to say, was this basically a product of liberal ideology hitting the wall, unable to deal with the contradictions that it was facing, or was it more so the weaknesses of an individual, Barack Hussein Obama? I think you get a clue if you look at what he considers to be his biggest failure. He calls it the aftermath of the invasion of Libya in 2011. I would call it the invasion in the first place. Why that is such an indication of what historians might say about the Obama presidency is that keep in mind that many of Mr. Obama's sternest critics on the left actually supported the invasion of Libya in 2011 and the murderous overthrow of Colonel Gaddafi. Mm-hmm. When you have people on the left supporting such a horrendous right-wing move, it gives an indication of the correlation of forces in the United States of America, which would have made it difficult even for a President Esther to have dug herself out of this morass we now face in this country.
Now, what was he able to accomplish in, I know he was just in Hiroshima, and I mentioned in the headlines that he didn't apologize for the bombing there. So what was he able to accomplish in Japan and Asia? I'm just wondering, what would success look like as the attempts to continue to isolate China? And I've just been wondering about that strategy. Like, how can you isolate your banker? You know, I just don't know what is going too far in terms of provocation in Asia.
Well, as you know, President Obama will be visiting Hiroshima, and this is the 71st year in terms of the anniversary of the first and hopefully only use of atomic weapons. And Mr. Obama's right-wing critics fear that he will apologize. He has said that he will not do so for this mass murder that killed 140,000 people. But in order to understand this trip to Hiroshima, and in fact, in order to understand Mr. Obama's foreign policy as a whole, you have to understand this gathering hysteria, not only in Washington, but in London and Paris and Tokyo, about the rise of China. Indeed, you cannot even begin to understand why Mr. Obama would have gone to Havana just a few weeks ago without understanding his desire to take Cuba off the chessboard and not allow Cuba somehow to become, in his imagination, a base for Chinese subversion against the United States, particularly in southern Florida. And so this is something that will help to explain why Mr. Obama's foreign policy has been so one-sided. But the problem with the foreign policy, of course, is that it was premised on a reset with Russia, but relations with Russia today are basically at its lowest level since the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. This portends a very rocky road for the United States going forward in this century.
Well, similarly, it looks like the Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty and the TTIP, I guess the similar legislation that would, treaty that would impact Europe, both seem to be in trouble. You know, there's continuing massive labor unrest in France that is tied to the TTIP and kind of preparing France to accept those kinds of labor restrictions, and that would, you know, the young people have been out in the streets, and, you know, there have been these violent clashes in Paris and around the country. And some people are saying that this might cost Hollande his job. So, you know, but on the other hand, Obama continues to press for these unpopular trade deals, you know, just as they are being examined in the election here. And I wonder what kind of impact that can have on the election in terms of people wanting to support Democrats.
Well, it's going to have enormous impact. As you know more than most, the presidential races of both Donald J. Trump and Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont have put these trade deals into the spotlight, and they have suffered as a result. That is to say that in recent years, these trade deals have been seen as a victory, and the defeat for the working class in terms of falling wages has basically been shunted to the side. But that is very difficult to do nowadays, given the rise of both Trump and Sanders. Similarly, these trade deals tie into the previous point that I made. That is to say that not only in Washington, but also in Tokyo in terms of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and also in Brussels in terms of the companion trade deal with the European Union, this is all seen as a way for the North Atlantic powers and Japan to compete with China. But once again, it seems to me that that train has left the station, and I don't think that the North Atlantic powers will be able to recover, which is one of the reasons you've had this enormous unrest in Paris in recent days, with the streets smoky with tear gas, and the possibility, if not the probability, that President Hollande will not live to see another presidential term.
You don't mean live. You mean he may not be reelected. But speaking of tear gas, the vote in Brazil just happened, and they've just voted to impeach Rousseff. And when I look at what's happening in Latin America, I'm wondering about just the real failure of the Obama administration to lend any kind of support, verbal support or whatever, again, you know, for, you know, anti-imperialist, you know, governments, and how they seem to be supporting, you know, repressive regimes in Latin America.
Well, it started with the coup in Honduras in 2009, which you may recall was supported, at least in the de facto sense, by then Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. There was a lot of optimism with the onset of the Obama administration. Remember him shaking hands at an America summit with then Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. But I think it's fair to say that the right-wing forces, not only in Brazil, but in the United States and in the Americas as a whole, have gathered strength. It's not only that Dilma Rousseff has been impeached, it's the defeat of the Kirchner regime in Argentina. It's right. The fact that Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela is now on the ropes. It's right. The fact that Evo Morales in Bolivia lost the referendum that would have allowed him to extend his presidential term. The fact of the matter is that the right wing is on the march, and I'm afraid one of the reasons is that the left wing in the United States, which is the headquarters of the global right wing, has not been able to mount a successful counteroffensive against the right wing.
So I know that the broadcast of your recent talk here at Red Emma's in Baltimore will be on C-SPAN tomorrow and on Sunday. And so I wanted you to help me impress upon our listeners the importance of independent media and to give us a little boost here during our first day of the fund drive.
Well, sadly enough, you don't miss your water until the well runs dry. And it would be a shame and a sin for WPFW to leave the airwaves in order for listeners to appreciate what they have missed. That is to say, where else can you go in terms of this media universe to receive detailed, progressive analysis of what's going on in the Americas, what's going on in Paris, what's going on in Washington, what's going on in the DMV? And that's why I urge and encourage anyone within range of my listening voice to pick up the phone immediately, if not sooner, and dial in to make a pledge, or to go online to wpfwfm.org and make a pledge electronically.
Well, thank you for that boost. I've been speaking to Gerald Horn, professor and prolific author and frequent contributor to this show, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for joining me today, Gerald.
Thank you.
Okay, so 202-588-9739. You heard the professor. 202-588-9739 is the number to call. And you can go also online to wpfwfm.org. I have one person to thank, and I want to thank him because he gave a donation and I failed to turn it in, but I'm turning it in now. Percy Lee Sanders Jr., and I believe that's Prince Frederick, Maryland. Thank you so much. I don't think that he is a renewing member. He may be a new member. So if I can get a bell, ding, 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 ding. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much, Percy Lee Sanders Jr., for your donation. And you can join him to support this independent media treasure we have here in D.C. And believe me, people in other places who don't have this kind of media, they are starving because all they can hear is like Rush Limbaugh if they go on the radio, or Michael Savage or somebody like that, and they don't have any option to hear progressive news on the radio. 202-588-9739. So speaking of media, for our culture and media moment, Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, will be here tonight at Plymouth Congregational Church. And that's a thank you gift I can offer this morning. Two tickets for only $50. And that's a fundraiser for the station. And also, we can offer tickets to our spring gala Monday night at Mule Bone featuring poet Nikki Giovanni. Tickets are $100 each, or $250 for a ticket for a VIP reception. And you'll be able to get up close and personal with Nikki Giovanni and talk to her and maybe get her autographed, make a selfie, whatever you want to do. And so you can we have those to offer as thank you gifts today. And I know that when I was just a child growing up, Nikki Giovanni is probably one of the people responsible for me wanting to be a writer. In Philadelphia, they played Nikki Giovanni on the radio. You know, we had a station before it was taken over by Clear Channel. Warning. We had a station, WDAS FM, that we could hear Nikki Giovanni. We had Mumia Abu-Jamal on the radio. And probably as a kid, I was definitely influenced by her to be a writer. You know, they played her poem, Ego Tripping. You know, it started, I was born in the Congo. And so anyway, I know there's a lot of people just like me who were inspired to think creatively or think about writing because of Nikki Giovanni. And she'll be here supporting the station on Monday. So if you can, please support that program and also Amy Goodman tonight at Plymouth Congregational Church. And she's another person inspiring a next generation of writers and media folks and journalists. 202-588-9739 or go online to WPFW.org. And I have another person to thank, Clyde Kavanaugh. Thank you so much. A big supporter of the show, always so supportive. I thank you so much, Clyde. You don't know how much I really appreciate your support. And he is, he may go to the program tonight to see Amy Goodman. So, thank you, Clyde. All right. So those are our headlines and happenings. When we come back, Voices Against War and Violence on Mother's Day. Stay with us.
Very displeased about what's going on. As mothers and women, as the sign over here says, we did not raise our children to kill another mother's child. And yet, that's what's going on with assassin drones that are killing people in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Yemen and Somalia and Iraq and Syria. And we're still calling for the president in his last months that he's in office to stop this assassin drone program. I just came back from Germany, where we were there to talk to the German people about their complicity in the assassin drone program. And then I was in Greece, where we saw the results of the continuous wars the United States has, the continuous wars that have been going on since 2001, and the numbers of refugees that have traveled out from the Middle East in through Turkey to Greece and up into Central Europe. Millions of people who are on the move because of the violence that was generated by the war on Iraq. So we are calling for the President of the United States sitting right over there. He's just come back from Howard University where he gave the commencement speech. And we are saying to the President of the United States to stop these assassin drones and stop the wars that America is causing all over the world. Well, one of the reasons we went to Germany was on behalf of Code Pink Women for Peace to receive a prestigious award from the city of Bayreuth, Germany. And I'd like to have Medea and Jody and Ali to come up and receive the award that we've just brought back from Germany for Code Pink Women for Peace, for tolerance and humanity. And let me say, this was not without controversy. One of the programs that Code Pink participates in is challenging not only our own government's policies, but also the policies of other governments, to include the State of Israel and its policies toward the Palestinians, of the blockade of Gaza, the illegal settlements in the West Bank, the apartheid walls. And for that, an orchestrated attempt to get this prize rescinded by the city of Beirut, by the State of Israel, because Code Pink has been working so hard on these policies. But fortunately, because of people like you all who wrote about Code Pink and wrote letters, the City Council of Beirut reinstated the award, and Code Pink got the award for tolerance and humanity.
And Anne, thank you for your continued work for peace all around the world. Thank you, thank you. And also, I want to bring up Kate Youngjo Shim. She's a peace and justice activist and community organizer. Currently, she's the International Solidarity Coordinator for the Coalition of Korean Americans, promoting a peaceful settlement in the Korean Peninsula and advocating for justice to victims survivors of World War II, as well as advocating for racial justice and LGBTQ rights in the United States. Thank you. Kate, come up, please.
Good afternoon. I'm so glad to be here on Mother's Day event.
I want to share my personal story with you. My family immigrated to the U.S. in the middle of 1970s from South Korea. My country and homeland was divided as a product of Cold War after Japan lost in World War II. Korea was a single country until that time for over 1,000 years. But we were divided into two, against our will, by foreign countries that was initiated by U.S. policymakers that eventually created a volatile situation that led to Korean War and continuing division and hostilities. And today, we still do not have a peace treaty that will officially end Korean War and move toward the last peace in Korean Peninsula. My mother grew up in the northern side of Korea. She came to Seoul in 1948 to advance her studies since her parents passed away. She left her siblings and cousins and thinking that she will come back to her after her studies. But the war and division did not allow her to return home for decades. And she still can go back home. And I also have an uncle and other relatives from my father's side who were separated by war and ended up living in North Korea. My grandmother got to see her older son again, first time after 37 years. And actually, because of the Korean War, she didn't know where he was for 37 years until she came to this country. And she actually came to the United States when she was 70 years old, hoping maybe she might have a better chance of finding her son. And she did find her son after 37 years. Can you imagine not knowing where her son was for 37 years? And she was a lucky one. There was in the millions of moms who cannot see their own children, and husband and wife, and they cannot celebrate Mother's Day with their children, or mothers cannot see their children grow. I just cannot imagine. I have two sons. I just cannot imagine not being able to see my own son for 50 years, 37 years, and now 70 years. And the time is running up. Separate family members get old, and a lot of them have already passed away. This is what world does to people. Separating families and destroying their lives, as we saw in Iraq, Syria, Palestine, and numerous other places around the world. This is why we desperately need a peace settlement in Korea, so that separate families can be united, and then people throughout the region can live without fears of another horrible war. Now, I want to talk about another tragic instance of women's victims of war. As we know, the Japanese military set up sexual slavery system during World War II throughout Asia, forcing girls and women of colonial and conquered terrorists as young as 12 or 13 years old into sexual slavery, beaten and raped constantly by soldiers, and also massacred toward the end of war by Japanese soldiers trying to hide what they have done. Even for those who survived, many of them couldn't have their own family or children as they lived in isolation and secrecy, embarrassed and ashamed about themselves to what happened to them. And nothing was their fault. And Korean survivors started to come out in early 1990s and trying to organize to tell their stories and the historical truth. This is what war does to human beings. Destroying and killing a lot of innocent people, specifically women and children. These comfort women survivors only want their dignity restored, and demand apologies from Japanese government. They don't want what happened to them. They don't want people to go through what they went through, but they still saw a lot of women and children being victimized again in other modern war, in Vietnam, in Congo, in other conflicted zones around the world. So what they decided was to raise funds, starting with their own money and savings called Butterfly Fund for the victims and survivors of the conflict and war in Africa, in Asia. And they're beautiful. Even after all the horrors and trauma they went through, they want to help other victims of war and help prevent wars. They even sent a donation to victims of a tsunami and earthquakes in Japan. These kind of people make me cry to be humble, give us inspiration and hope and courage to fight for justice and peace. Thank you for this opportunity for today. And I want to end with three of my favorite slogans. Dignity and justice to comfort women survivors. Sign the peace treaty now. And moms, unite for peace and justice. Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. You know, I always think it's important for us just to take a moment and realize how important our action is today. And when we come out and we protest, for us to understand that our resistance is what is so powerful in this country. Winnie Mandela used to say, you know, we don't have bombs, we don't have bullets, but we have our hands and we have our voices. And that's what we're exercising today, our hands and our voices and song and protest. And I just think it's important for us to realize how powerful we are at every step of the way. Today, President Obama gave the commencement speech at Howard University. And I must tell you, I have a niece who graduated today, and I tried to give her some rotten tomatoes. Because we have our hands and we have our voices, but her parents wouldn't let me do that. Anyway, but I thought what was interesting about his speech is that he spent a lot of time touting how great his administration has been. But he forgot a couple of things that I thought maybe I would bring up. That it was under his administration that murderers like George Zimmerman, the murderers of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown were exonerated. It was under Obama's administration, not the administration of George Wallace. It was under the Obama administration. It was under the Obama administration that mothers in Flint, Michigan, right now, are dealing with thousands of children who have been lead poisoned. It was under his administration, not the administration of George Wallace. It's important for us to really understand this one in particular, because mothers in Flint, Michigan, and fathers in Flint, Michigan, are dealing with children who will no longer be able to function as intellectual beings. They have lead embedded in their brains. And this administration knew that for 2 years before they did anything. For 2 years, they allowed the people in Flint to drink, to cook their food, and to bathe in poisoned water. And we need to understand that it was this administration that allowed that kind of atrocity. We need to also understand that we've got thousands of black boys who've been murdered all over this country. It was under this administration, not George Wallace, this administration that allowed that kind of horrific atrocity to occur under his watch. So I just think it's important that mothers and women and dads, that we all come together and we sort of tap into our consciousness and tap into our courage to say, not on our watch, maybe on his watch, but not on our watch, that we are going to raise our voices and we are going to say, not on our watch. And so I also have to mention that I'm a mother of a young black boy who was stopped by police over 30 times. And every time my son hears me say that he was stopped over 30 times, he always says, Mom, no, it's more like 40. And it just breaks my heart because I can't even mentally deal with the fact that when I send my son out to enjoy his life, the police see him as a target, someone who I love and someone who I gave birth to. So I ask you, as women, as mothers, and dads, we must continue to say, not on our watch. Thank you very much.
If you're just tuning in, you just heard the voices from the Mother's Day Peace Festival held Saturday in front of the White House. The event brought grassroots groups together to reject killing and violence across the world and to lift up voices of mothers struggling for peace and justice. Activists gathered to say no to bloated military spending, war, racism, xenophobia, militarization of the police, mass incarceration, and killing of black youth across the United States. The last voice you heard was Marsha Coleman Adebayo, pioneering whistleblower, writer, and an activist in the movement for black lives. Before that was Kate Youngju Shim. And before that, Mary Ann Wright, a retired United States Army colonel who is an anti-war activist. And that's what we've done for 2 years now. This is kind of like our anniversary show. We launched May 1st on International Workers Day in 2014. And since then, we've brought voices from the community and from the, what we say, from the streets and from the streets and in the suites of power here in the DMV. And so we're in our spring membership drive, and I'd like you to join some of the folks who've pledged already this morning. I also want to thank Bridgette Roussan. She's pledging and supporting justice programming here. She's pledging for Lamar Wilson, and she's challenging all Howard alumni to pledge. And she is going to pick up a ticket to go see Nikki Giovanni on Monday and have a great time down at Mule Bone. That sounds really nice. It's a really nice place. They've got it redecorated, kind of redone, and it's always been nice, but it's even nicer. And a great ambiance to see Nikki Giovanni, to hear music, to hear the DJ, and have a nice dinner and all that. So 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or you can pledge online. I am going to go to a break now. And when I go to the break, don't forget to call in. I gave you the numbers, 202-588-9739. Or 1-800-222-9739, or pledge on WPFWFM.org. When we come back, you know, we're going to talk to Reverend Graylin Hagler about local labor struggles. And so stay with us. Call in now. Yeah.
To me. I despise, 'cause it means destruction of this life. War means terror.
That was Edwin Star War, remixed by Dr. Spider, the team including Dr. Spider. And before the voices from in front of the White House on Mother's Day, we had another remix of Edwin Star's War by Tanoush. And to honor the voices against war today, this is On the Ground on 89.3 Pacifica Radio. I'm Esther Averam, and in this segment, I'm speaking to the Reverend Graylin Hagler about local labor struggles. He has been actually on the front lines with a lot of workers here in the city. People probably don't know that. And I first, you know, knew this or kind of worked with you when you were coming out and supporting the home care workers. And I saw, you know, I keep track of you on Facebook. And then I saw you were out at the airport with the airport workers. And, I know right now there's a struggle with the workers at Giant. And apparently there are 8 stores in our area are up to be sold. And Giant made this announcement back in March that it would sell 8 stores in the region due to a corporate merger. And apparently the workers are like the last ones to know about it or to even be told how where they stand in this whole deal. So tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Well, basically, there's a merger when you talk about Giant and Food Lion, it's basically the parent companies are in Europe. Those are European companies that basically control Giant and Food Lion. And so you have A-hole. I get very worried about announcing that name.
I know. I was right. I didn't say the words because I was like, right. Is that how you pronounce that?
and Del Azzi, they came together as one corporation, basically. And so they started talking about the divestment of properties. Well, the problem with that is they have not talked to workers. Workers don't know what their fate is. Right now, we know that possibly 8 stores are on the sale auction block, but that may not be the end of it either. So workers are very worried about who's going to buy it. What does that mean in terms of a contract? What does that mean in terms of their collective bargaining? What does that mean that they have a job? Do they walk up there one morning and the place is just shut it and barred up? And so nobody's talking to workers at all, telling them this is what's going to happen as a part of your future. And so basically they're saying you'll know when you find out, which is a really disrespectful way in which to treat people, particularly people who've been on those jobs for 20 years, some of 30 years, some of them raised families on those jobs, some of them where you got the husband and wife team both work in the same store, right. And all of that type of stuff, and that's the only income that comes into the house is from that one source. So you really put people in a very jeopardized position.
Right, and then there's also the issue of the service that store provides to a community.
That's right.
We're already talking about, in many of our communities, food deserts, areas where there aren't groceries. I don't know if that's the case of these stores, but it's definitely, it makes a difference if you have a convenience to be able to buy, you know, food.
And the whole issue is you're not just closing a store, but you're basically impacting all kinds of vendors that service that store. From folks who are dealing with refrigeration to drivers who are delivering merchandise to the store. I mean, it's a whole cadre of folks that are really affected. It's not just even the folks who work in the store. It's all of the peripheral things that take place around the store.
Now, I think that we have one of the Giant workers on the phone, Allison Tim. She works at the Giant in Stafford, Virginia. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning.
So thank you for joining me this morning. Can you tell me a little bit about how you found out about this plan by Giant and the kind of impact it's having at the store in Stafford?
Yes, ma'am. Well, we found out basically a few minutes after the store managers did in our area. They were called to a meeting. They were gone for, you know, a good little while, hour and a half. They came back and read from a paper stating that our store, amongst others, was going to be sold. It had to be sold to another grocery store, and we weren't sure if they would be union or not. They didn't have any other answers. They couldn't tell us where we would be or where we would end up. And ever since then, it's just been a flurry of rumors and speculation and worry for everybody at the store, including our customers.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself personally? Like, what kind of work do you do at the store? And, you know, how dependent, you know, are you on that income for your family?
I am completely dependent on that income. For many years, I was a single parent. I, in November, will have 30 years with Giant Food.
Wow, 30 years.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, too. I was customer service for most of that time. I was management for 8 years, front-end manager for the, you know, customer service cashier area. And now I am a full-time cashier. And it, I mean, truly is my livelihood. It's my insurance. It's my everyday job. It's my everyday people, my customers, you know, people I work with that I've run into over and over again in the past 30 years. You know, we transfer, we move, so we know everybody. And it just, I mean, I don't know where I'm going to go after cashiering or working retail grocery for 30 years and make what I make and have the benefits that I have.
Right.
Because
right.
to leave and go somewhere else, you're starting new, even if you do have experience, you know?
Right. So what can the, I really realize that I'm, my time is getting short here, but what can people do to support the workers at Giant if they'd like to get involved or be in touch?
We have a hashtag Save My Store. We have Facebook petitions, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And they can sign the petitions. They can email Giant. We're just asking them to do anything they can, just so Giant knows that we're human beings and we take care of human beings and that we're not just a number or, you know,
right.
an entity. But it's just anything they can do, Facebook, petitions, emails to Giant, to the corporate headquarters, show up at our rallies, our union rallies, you know, anything like that that they can show our support. We had a town hall meeting in Stafford and we did have a handful of customers come. It was pretty amazing.
I do know there was a big action on Wednesday for the Save My Store where these petitions were dropped off at the Giant headquarters in Maryland. So,
yes, ma'am.
So I saw the pictures of those and we played some of the sound from the one of the union leaders, one of the workers there. And so it's Save My Store. It's hashtag Save My Store. It's also Save My Store, I think, .com, where people can get more information. So thank you so much for joining me, Allison, this morning. And we'll stay in touch and keep track of what's happening with this campaign.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for all your help.
Okay.
Allison. And folks can send actually a text to Save My Store. And they can put that in the text message. No space between that. Save My Store. And its dialing is 698-329.
Okay. All right. Great. So, did you have anything else to add? We wanted to, I guess I better get one more pitch in. I am short. I have not made my goal and I need to make my goal. I have only about $230 left to go. And so that means just two people, calling it and pledging at $10 a month will almost get me there. And just to be on the safe side, if three people could call in. So 202-588-9739. I have to make my goal. And you know, we always make our goal or exceed our goal. So maybe folks will think, so someone else will call in. Well, no, I don't hear any other, I don't have any other slips being handed to me. So I do need you to call before we go off the air and to make a pledge to the show. 202-588-9739. It's 202-588-9739. Or go online, if you're listening online, especially to WPFWFM.org and pledge. Maybe just $10 a month, $20 a month. One person pledging $20 a month will actually send me over my goal. And I know you can do it. And there's someone who hasn't joined. There's someone who needs to renew their membership. And this is a great time to do it. 202-588-9739. We have tickets for Amy Goodman tonight at Plymouth Congregational Church. We also have tickets to the Nikki Giovanni Gala on Monday at Mulebone, and those are $100 each, and also some VIP tickets also. So I know that you appreciate this programming. We are kind of rare here, you know, that we have a voice, that we are able to bring you your voices, the voices from the community. And we want to continue to do that. You know, we want to continue to be a place where you can hear African-American classical music and all types of music from all the programmers here, and also the justice programming. You know, it's very important to me to be able to bring you this information because I'm kind of a news junkie. I listen to, I watch news, I keep up with what's happening, and I don't hear our voices very often when I'm watching cable news, when I'm hearing the radio, even on stations that are supposedly black owned or our stations. You know, you're not really hearing news. You're not hearing necessarily the issue about the issues that are impacting us. So this is something we try to bring here, and we want to continue to do that. So 202-588-9739. This is my last push, and I would like to be able to thank you before I go off the air. So please call. Let me know if that you're listening and appreciating our going out into the community and bringing these voices to be broadcast over 50,000 in Virginia. But these are voices that are being beamed across our region to counter the right-wing narrative, the march of white right-wing conservative media that in many places is all that people can hear. So if we can be this one beacon in the darkness, people who are beating the drums of war, beating the drum for Donald Trump, and now they have what they were asking for, and now they're totally freaking out. So on this show, we've been talking about these things for many years, or many. Oh, I'm over. Okay, all right, wonderful. So, okay. I want to thank Michael Byfield for renewing his membership, and anyway, this is new. All right. Well, I want to thank him for renewing his membership and from D.C. And that takes us over the top for the day. But thank you so much for everyone for listening. That'll do it for us on today's show. I want to thank Reverend Graylin Hagler and Gerald Horn. Thanks to Lydia Curtis, Chantel James, for all their help with the show. And thanks to our engineer, Mike Nasella. And thank you so much for listening. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can listen to all of our shows. Please don't forget to like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On The Ground Show. Now stay tuned for a special community watch and comment with Katia Stitt interviewing Amy Goodman, who will again be at Plymouth Congregational Church tonight. And you can keep calling up until the top of the hour. 202-588-0893 is the number to call, or 1-800-222-9739. I'm sorry, 202-588-9739, or 1-800-222-9739, or WPFWFM.org. And I will get credit for any pledges up to the top of the hour. So please call in now. Until next week, raise your voice out there. Peace.